opportunity to record to do third reading, it might be time to wait for lunch, or we can go into committee hall on House Bill then. Don't you mind?
I want to spend like 45 minutes or so on House Bill.
Senator, come to order.
We're missing our Northern Party. Do you know what the committee?
They're meeting right now.
Can I have some more water, please? So we are going to...
Hey! Hey, thanks for waiting!
So we have a third reading in the legislature as well. Senate joint, it's two-thirds.
That's two-thirds. Bills on third reading and final passage. No. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do have a consent list. Mr. President, I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. Senate File 28, Revisor's Bill. Senate File 121, Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments. Senate File 123, School Nutrition Project. Senate File 125, Permanent Mountain Daylight Saving Time. Senate File 131, State Revenues and Expenditure Review. Senate File 138, Certified Public Accountants Amendments. Senate File 140, I-80 Project Master File. Senate File 146, Community College District Board Voting. Senate File 155, Bar and Grill Liquor License Increase. Senate File 156, State Government Efficiencies. And Senate File 169, Migratory Bird Refuge.
Would anyone like any of the Senate files removed from the consent list? Senator Burns. Senate File 125 is removed
Zulu
from the consent list. Would anyone like any other of the Senate files removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 28, Revisor's Bill. Senate File 121, Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments. Senate File 123, School Nutrition Pilot Project. Senate File 131, State Revenues and Expenditure Review. Senate File 138, Certified Public Accountants Amendments. Senate File 140, I-80 Project Master Plan. Senate File 146, Community College District Board Voting. Senate File 155, Bar and Grill Liquor License Increase. Senate File 156, State Government Agencies, and Senate File 169, Migratory Bird Refuge. Will the Chief Clerk please call the consent roll?
On the consent list, Agar.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Boner.
Aye.
Bouchard.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Ellis,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nethercott. Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Bebout.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 28, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 28, 30 aye. Senate File 121, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 121, 30 aye. Senate File 123, are there any changes?
Perkins,
aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 123, 27 aye, 3 no. Senate File 131, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 131, 30 aye. Senate File 138, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 138, 30 aye. Senate File 140, are there any changes?
Agar,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 140, 29 aye, 1 no. Just a minute. Senate File 146, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 146, 30 aye. Senate File 155, are there any changes? Case, aye to conflict.
Ellis, aye to conflict.
Driscoll, aye to conflict. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 155, 27 aye, 3 conflict. Senate File 156, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 156, 30 aye. Senate File 169, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. closing. Vote closed. Senate File 169, 28 aye, 2 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 28, Revisers Bill, Senate File 121, Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendment, Senate File 123, School Nutrition Pilot Project, Senate File 131, State Revenues and Expenditure Review, Senate File 138, Certified Public Accountants Amendment, Senate File 140, I-80 Project Master Plan, Senate File 146, Community College District Board Voting, Senate File 155, Bar and Grill Liquor License Increase, Senate File 156, State Government Efficiencies, and Senate File 169, Migratory Bird Refuge have passed the Senate. Senator Pappas, you may.
Today, everyone, I'd like you to introduce back in the gallery, we have the Agricultural Trade Policy class from LCCC visiting us, and along with them is their instructor, Rosemary McBride. Please help me welcome them.
Welcome to the Senate. Senate File 125, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 125, Permanent Mountain Daylight Saving Time, sponsored by Senator Von Flatern, an act relating to daylight saving time.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against this bill, Mr. President, the other states that, the few other states that do not engage in switching their clocks along with the rest of the country, all border a time zone. So they're at the same time with one of their bordering states. Wyoming would not be. We'd be an island sitting in the middle of the Rocky Mountain time zone. And the fact that there's only a half million of us against the surrounding states, we also have within the state a number of population centers that are frankly reliant on the commercial activity of a larger city outside the state. We're here, it's Denver, up in my part of the neck of the woods, it's Billings. And I think this would be an enormous inconvenience for most of the people in the state of Wyoming for the 4 months a year that we're out of sync with the rest of the time zone. The other reason I bring it up is I had a chat with my wife who grew up in Indiana and northern Indiana, so they were out of sync half the year with somebody. And so I was asking what life was like at the time. And at the time, and for their entire lives, it's been our time or your time, our time or your time. And there's always inconveniences of people misreading which hour it is. I think that this bill, frankly, would create more inconvenience than it would possibly solve.
Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, at first blush, when I looked at this, well, I'm all about more daylight. I work with that. I like that. But as feedback starts to come, as what we do, I saw the confusion that we would have to the other states, much as just noted from the Intermountain West, got an airport to the north of me that connects in and out of Salt Lake on a regular basis. It would cause confusion, and for that, I'd have to go against the bill.
Senator Christensen.
Chairman, on and against. You know, ALTA does a lot of business with Idaho, and I know how Idaho relies on ALTA, and I'd hate to disrupt the entire state of Idaho if they tried to match up with us.
Okay. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for this bill, which we've seen many times, and we'll see it many times again. Why you cannot calculate the difference between 4 months of the great little town of Alta, Wyoming, and the rest of Idaho, I don't know why. You know, if you look at Coeur d'Alene, which isn't that far from Alta, you're having to calculate that difference in time zone because they stay on Pacific. The one state that the good senator from Sheridan mentioned, I think it actually sits in surrounded by another time zone because the state of Ohio is actually on Central. And so it's kind of an island unto itself. So 8 months a year, we'd be on the same time zone as our neighbors. Very easy to do. Very easy calculation. And if you depend on Reno, Las Vegas, Omaha, Chicago, you do that calculation in your head. Your phone does it. If you travel there, the phone does it for you. It's the only people that really want to look forward to changing their clocks because they don't have anything else to do. That amazes me, you know, that somebody would want to sit around and wait for their clocks to the moment they can change, the end of October for 4 months. But I also say that, you know, we do pause tests, and pause tests happens about the time you change clocks. And research shows that it affects people for a day or two or 4 days. Why would you want to do that? Why wouldn't you just want to leave your clocks alone? Vote this up, vote it down, it'll probably show up again.
They're on and against the bill. Up where I live, 30 miles from Montana, the senior citizens, a lot of senior citizens have doctor's appointments and different things in Billings, Montana, and will be really confused by this.
Mayor Meyer, jumping up.
Mr. President, on and for the bill. You know, I look at it, I fly out of the different time zones practically every place I go if I'm on a plane. You know, so when you get there, you just change your watch, or if you have a watch, or your cell phone automatically tells you what time it is. So, you know, as far as changing time zones on flights and things, I think that's pretty easy if you're actually on the plane. And I'm more really concerned about the people in Wyoming than I am the other folks around here. And this is a bill for Wyoming people, so they don't have to monkey around changing their clocks back and forth, because we all know that Sunday, you know, you say to yourself, did I change that, all my clocks back? And then you look at your cell phone, and then you go around and change your clocks if you didn't. So, Mr. President, it's an inconvenience. It does give people jet lag, as a good senator, I think, to the right of me said in the early presentation. But, you know, just looking at it, it really does make sense for Wyoming. I do a lot of business with folks back in the eastern part of Nebraska now. You know, I just have to remember that, you know, I try to make sure that I just don't call them when I know that's their lunch hour, or I make my phone calls earlier in the day. And that's not going to change, Mr. President. So, you know, those things that Congress has been taking those into consideration, you know, forever, because it's just not that you just deal with people right around your state. You deal with people all around the country. And you have to be aware of what their time zone is. And if you're in commerce, if you're in business, I hope you know what time you are.
Further discussion? Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was entertained a little bit ago by a video that was emailed about the true facts of daylight saving time and where it originated from. And I had always thought, well, this was, you know, the farmers wanted this. But as it was carefully pointed out, is those cows don't care when they get fed, as long as they get fed, you know, just the hour difference. But it was really intriguing to find out it was a country over across the way that actually started this whole thing. And you know, I know my constituency has asked to support the bill, and so I'm speaking on and for it. You know, and I work a 7-to-3 shift, and I've worked that for quite a while. And the rest of the world is on 8-to-4, 8-to-5. And so when I'm in my shop at 7 a.m. and I need to call about parts, I just do other things until 8. I have to deal with people in Florida for our airboats, and in California, Arizona. And I just look at the time and figure out the time difference, and it's real easy to do. 4 months out of the year, we're different than our surrounding states, and I think the trend is going to be looking at moving away from this. You know, and then the point that was made that, my goodness, other states that are on the border on each of the lines that for the Pacific time and Central time, and I know Ohio's on Eastern time, you know, so you have somewhere you have a group of people that are on those borders, you know, from the different time zones that have dealt with this for decades and dealt with it just fine. Wyoming will deal with it just fine. On and for the bill.
Senator Anderson.
before the bill, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, excuse me. We heard in a previous testimony that the senator from Tongue River liked to ask the question of his wife, and she would always answer him. And I would submit to him that he can still ask her if he should fall or spring, and she can straighten him out. Thank you.
Well, Mr. President, my distinguished colleague just said that the cows don't care. Mr. President, unfortunately, the evidence is they do care. And they get used to a particular time, and they get pretty demanding about it. Seriously, if we were a dairy state, big dairy state, and other than one portion we're not, this does mess up the dairy farmers when they change, because the cows do expect something at a regular time. I'm much more concerned about the way it's going to mess up the commercial people that do business largely with the other large cities in our time zone. They will have a problem with this being not the same as them.
Further discussion. Senator Case.
Mr. President, I suspect that deep down we're all like a bunch of cows. And that really what the clock says, you kind of get used to doing things, you know, when it has to be done. And if I'm in a business that has to work with the East Coast, which I'm part of a consulting group in D.C. on a matter, I have to pay attention to their time to interact with them. But that's the same with everybody. If you're a supplier and you're going to supply to a particular area, you'll figure it out. We'll all figure it out. We'll figure out, in a lot of good ways, Mr. Chairman, schools will figure it out, businesses will figure it out, and the cows, they already got it figured out. We don't need to change time.
Anyone else wish to speak before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Anyone else? Okay. You ready for the question? Senate File 125.
Microphone.
Someone.
Senate
File 125, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar? No. Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Landon, I don't know. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 no.
Senate File 125, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 125 has failed to pass the Senate. Senate Joint Resolution Number 8, third reading of the Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 8, School Construction and Renovation Constitutional Amendment, sponsored by Senator Meyer. A joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution by creating a new section authorizing the legislature to require school districts to impose a special tax on property within the school district for the purpose of construction of public school facilities.
We have an amendment. Third reading amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate Joint Resolution 8, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 2, lines 11 through 23.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to SJ 8, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, there are some
concerns that I had, and I laid this back. I talked to one of our senior staff members, and he brought up a concern that we worked on, and that has to do with what happens if you've got a district that's just building a high school and another district's building a grade school, and there's a big difference in the construction costs and that. So we entered into the idea of proportionality here as far as the tax, as long as it's uniformly applied. And so I'm just going to read the what the public statement would say, Mr. President. It says, the adoption of this amendment would allow the legislature to require a school district board of trustees to impose a special tax to fund the construction of public schools. The amount of revenue generated would vary by district, but the tax imposed and time period for the tax would be prescribed by law uniformly applicable to all school districts and proportionate to the estimated cost of construction. The legislature would distribute the resulting revenue in a manner which would prevent wealth-based disparity among the state's schools for districts and purposes of construction of public schools. There was some discussion also, Mr. President, about whether or not we would need a notwithstanding. we handled that in lines 17 through 20. We said a law meeting the requirements of this section and the tax properly imposed pursuant thereto shall be deemed to be in accordance with all provisions of this Constitution requiring uniform and equal taxation. Now, how this would actually go, Mr. President, is that there's another section in Article 1 that says that any tax imposed has to be either by the people or by local elected representatives. So, Mr. President, essentially, because of that Article 1 thing, these taxes would have to go to the vote of the people. And that's how that, because we have a previous part of our Constitution that says they have to vote when you're imposing taxes. So essentially the question is, that's really unanswered until we would enact this and provide a law, is whether or not the legislative body is a representative of the local folks. And so that's a question that's out there. I don't think it's ever been approached. It's something that we might at some point in time ask for an AG's opinion. But for us to be able to get back to about where we were before, where local people had some skin in the game, then this is really the only thing that we have to do that. I had thought at one time that we could do this without this. But the only way we can do that is to provide a uniform tax across every school district, which is essentially a statewide mill levy or statewide income tax. So this actually gets the local folks involved, lets them have a possibility of having some local oversight. And I think we have it in a way here now that was fairer because of the proportionality. That's the big difference in this, and so I'd ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, reluctantly, I think this amendment represents a very creative idea. I think it's headed in the right direction, but I don't think we quite have it yet. The first sentence of the ballot statement, adoption of this amendment would allow the legislature to require a school district board of trustees to impose a special tax. I think the citizens will read that and say this is a brand new tax and we don't want the legislature requiring our local districts to impose a tax, and will simply vote it down. And I think probably rightly so. I think that would be my reaction. I think I see where we're trying to go with this, but I don't think this amendment, Mr. President, quite gets us there.
Further discussion. Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I appreciate the words from my tall colleague because I think he's spot on. And I really do appreciate the sponsor working as hard as he has to try to get this resolution to where it needs to be. Mostly appreciate it, fellow senators, because we haven't had another vehicle to really talk about this school facilities issue throughout this entire session. It's kind of been that thing hanging over on the side along with the other big elephant in the room, which is school funding. This school facilities and maintenance issue is a big one. And as much as I'd like to support this one, I just don't know that it quite gets us where we need to go. Someday, somehow, though, Mr. President, we are going to have to address the fact that we've got 23 million square feet of buildings out across this state, some of which are new, some not so new. But the price tag the last couple of bienniums has been $130 million just for major maintenance, $130 per biennium that we need to imposed just to that we need to set aside just to take care of major maintenance, things like parking lots and roofs and all the things that school districts can't reach up and take care of themselves. So it's a very real issue. It's very important. I don't think that will be completely solved by figuring out how we can involve the local districts. So I do applaud that effort. I just don't know that this is quite going to get us there, fellow senators. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, Mr. President, I can't say that this has a lot of political palatability or palatability at the election box. But I can say, Mr. President, is that this is the only way that you can do it. And it's just whether or not we want to do it at this time. And this is probably done in the correct manner. And it's probably as good as you're going to get, whether it's today or whether it's next year or whether it's 10 years from now. Because, Mr. President, I talked to staff. I said, is there any way that we can not have that language in there? Because another good senator from Cheyenne asked me about that. I said, is there any way that we can strike out the legislature may require by law? And, you know, frankly, that's the way we do everything is by law. We pass a statute. And that's the way we do business. But if we don't put it in the Constitution that we may, staff assured me that essentially it we couldn't do it. Now, I don't know whether that's wrong or whether that's right. But all I know is what the representation of our senior staff told me. And, you know, and unfortunately, yeah, it lacks a little political palatability at the ballot box. But if we're going to have local people get skin in the game, we're going to have to pass a law. And if we're going to do it, and we know it's going to be constitutional, we're going to have a constitutional amendment. That's unfortunate facts, Mr. President. There isn't anything more unfortunate than, I guess, asking the people for us to be able to tax them. But I think, Mr. President, when the folks out there look around their districts and they see the beautiful new shiny buildings and they shake their heads saying, boy, if I had to pay for this, I wouldn't. You know, and there's a lot of that going on out there. And so that's the question we ask ourselves. Is there enough people out there that look at the buildings and say, boy, we've gone overboard. We've got AstroTurf on our football fields. We've got Taj Mahals around the state. And the state's paying for it. And if I was voting for it, I probably wouldn't have built it quite as big, quite as fancy, or with the bells and whistles. And I think there's enough people out there, Mr. President, that when they actually go to the ballot box, they say, well, maybe it's time for the legislature to tell the local folks we got to have some skin in the game. And that's the unfortunate thing, is that it's going to be a political question. And if it gets on the ballot, then that question will be answered. But I can tell you that there's no way that we can get local skin in the game without a constitutional amendment. Unfortunate as it is, it's a high bar. But then again, maybe it is fortunate that it's a high bar. And if people don't want to be taxed locally for their schools, and they want us to continue to come up for 100% of it, then they'll speak, and they'll tell us that we have to impose some statewide taxes. So, Mr. President, I think the amendment's in the right form. I think the amendment should be passed, and then we could talk about whether or not we want to put it on the ballot.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution number 8. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no? That amendment has passed. We're back on the Senate Joint Resolution number 8. Further discussion on the joint resolution. Senator Coe.
Mr. President, reluctantly I rise to oppose Senate Joint Resolution 8, and I've worked pretty extensively with the sponsor of the amendment, and you know, we've talked a lot about it. And does he bring something that is an important discussion? I think he probably does when we start talking about how we're going to fund school CapCon. Because we have no money left. That's the bottom line. We have no revenue stream that's dedicated to that. But, you know, looking at Article 7 as it exists today, says that basically we will build schools that are adequate and equitable. And it goes into the Campbell 2 decision where basically Campbell 2 said that building schools will no longer be a function of local wealth, be a function of state wealth. But you know what this amendment really says? It says that if you're a school district out there and you're on the list, you don't get your building unless you raise your taxes. That's what it basically says. And it says no to any building project if the voters do not approve it. So you're subject to the whim of the voters voting in a tax increase to be able to build a school in their district. So reluctantly, I oppose this amendment. I commend the sponsor for all he's done with this and the hard work he's put into it, but I just don't think it gets there yet. So I ask that you oppose Senate Joint Resolution 8.
And Senator Coe, you said the amendment. I think you're referring to the joint resolution. Further discussion? Senator Scott?
Well, Mr. President, I rise mostly to say that all the objections I had to the amendment, I have to the text without amending. I just don't think we're quite there yet. I think we need to go back to a system where you're dependent on a vote of the people with skin in the game, but I don't think this one is in a form that is passable. I think Article 7 before the Supreme Court reinterpreted it was just fine. But we've got a problem now. We're going to have to deal with it. The idea is very creative. But, Mr. President, I'm afraid it just isn't quite there.
Further discussion? You ready for the question? Senate Joint Resolution number 8, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the joint resolution pass? It requires 2/3 vote to pass. Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen? Christensen, no. Co?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercutt? No. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote?
Anselmi
Dalton, aye to no. Closing. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 13 aye, 17 no.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 8, having failed to receive the necessary two-thirds vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate Joint Resolution Number 8 has failed to pass the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you want to go into general or committee of the whole to discuss bills on general file?
You know, actually, if Mr. Chairman, if I might, Mr. President, if I might have privilege of the floor for just a minute.
You may.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, my plan is that we will continue to work a little bit of general file every day in addition to the appropriations bill, which I know you're all eager and anxious to get to. My hope, otherwise, we just have to keep this stuff moving along. So, with that, and also under our Senate rules, we'll end up having two general files today. We'll have one for a Senate file, and we'll have one for some House bills. So with that, what I'd like to do is we need about probably 45 minutes of work on House bills. We won't do that all this morning, but let's go ahead and, Mr. President, I would move that that the Senate resolve itself to committee the whole for consideration of House bills.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has carried. Senator Rothfuss, and for members of the Senate, you know, I've heard several times about second reading. We were going to get to second reading today, that just there were some amendments out there that we wanted to be sure that people had time to get them in. Senator Rothfuss.
Are we
doing
the budget or are we doing bills?
We're doing House bills.
Okay.
You got your sheet already. There you go.
Thank you.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 18. The reading clerk will please read the House Bill.
House Bill 18, Child Abuse or Neglect in Military Families, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to child protection. It was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, and Nethercott. Excused, Senator Kinski. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the House bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 18, Child Abuse or Neglect in Military Families. And I will take you through that bill. Members of the Senate, this is a fairly lengthy and complicated bill that just requires that DFS shall have all protective service workers trained to make reasonable, and I'm over on page 2 with new language, make reasonable efforts to determine if the person responsible for the welfare of the child in a suspected case of child abuse or neglect is a member of the armed forces, or if the child is enrolled in defense enrollment eligibility reporting system of the United States Department of Defense. And then down on line 14, this says, first, they need to be trained. Second, tells them what they shall do on line 14 of page 2. And then that new duty is over on page 3, starting on line 11, that they shall make reasonable efforts to determine if the person responsible for the welfare of the child is a member of the armed services or if the child is enrolled in the DEERS program. And then on page 4, this just refers to the reporting. And once a report is issued, or there is a report of child abuse or neglect, new language in the second paragraph on line 7, if the person is responsible, once they've conveyed that, if the person responsible for the welfare of the child or member of the armed forces, or if the child is enrolled in the DEERS program, they shall report this, or they shall share this report with the judge advocate, state judge advocate for the Wyoming Military Department. And then the last paragraph on page 4,
This will be followed by a written report by the receiving agency confirming or not confirming the facts reported, and they shall give that report to law enforcement, the local child protective agency, and the state judge advocate if it's appropriate. And that's the extent of the bill. The idea behind this bill is they just want to be able to determine better who is involved and determine if there is either a suspect or a dependent involved in a case like this to make sure the military knows about it. With that, I'd answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator Christensen. There are no amendments. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 18, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
House Bill 18 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 17, Adult Protective Orders Time Limit Extension, an act relating to adult protective services, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, and Nethercott. Excused, Senator Kinski. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the House bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Christensen, back to you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable consideration on House Bill 17, Engrossed Adult Protective Orders on a Time Limit Extension. And to present that bill will be Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Senator Christensen. Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, you have before you House Bill 17. This is sponsored by the Joint Judiciary Interim Committee. What this bill does is it extends the time allowed for the Department of Family Services to remove whatever negative factors are causing a vulnerable adult to be unsafe. So the time limit right now is currently 72 hours that the department has in order to remove any factors that may be causing an emergency for a vulnerable adult. And it extends that period up to 30. That only happens upon court approval through court approval process. So the bill is quite simple in itself of just extending that time from 72 hours to 30 hours on an emergency basis. With that, I stand for questions and ask for your approval of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Nethercott. Any discussion on House Bill 17? There are no amendments. Any discussion on the House bill? Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification. It was 72 hours to 30 days and not 30 hours.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Back to you, Senator Nethercott, for clarification.
Mr. Chairman, yes, it's 30 days.
Thank you, Senator Nethercott. Any further discussion on House Bill 17, Adult Protective Orders, Time Limit Extension? Question's been called for. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a do-pass recommendation on House Bill 17, please say aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 17 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill number 71. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 71, Engrossed, Unemployment Insurance, Electronic Communications, sponsored by the Labor Committee. An act relating to unemployment compensation was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the House bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 71 do pass. There was no standing committee amendment, and I yield to Senator Boner for an explanation of the House bill.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what this House bill will accomplish is dealing with our Department of Workforce Services and the way in which they communicate decision notice determination when it comes to unemployment benefits. Basically, the way that it is now, for the past 5 years or so, they've been updating their system to provide for a more streamlined, more electronic means of communicating. And this will, all this will do is allow folks who are receiving that determination to the option of receiving that determination over electronic means. So it's dependent upon the claimant or the employer. They have the option. I'd just like to point out this information is already stored electronically. This is simply allowing the department to, frankly, come up to federal standards with that the federal government's already paid to update the system. We're just allowing them to go ahead and accomplish this communication through statute. So you'll see that's in the new paragraph on page 1 and 2. If you flip over to page 3, you get a little bit more details as to how that would happen, and specifically getting on to line 12. The time and date, the department will have to send electronic acknowledgments specifying the time and date, still allowing for that determination to be appealed or protested using these electronic means. And most importantly, getting down towards the bottom of page 3, page 19 and on, as far as the relevant time limits established under this article, it'll be deemed delivered when there's an acknowledgement, or in lieu of that, on the date the electronic delivery is initiated by the party sending the information. So we have that spelled out in statute so that we can bring our workforce services up to speed with electronic age, and allowing the folks who receive their services the option of receiving that communication via electronic means. So that's the bill. I'll certainly stand for any questions.
Thank you, Senator Boner. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. If they opt in, do they still have the ability to opt out later on if they so desire?
Thank you, Mr. President. Any further questions before the sponsor rises? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question about the effective date being immediately. I was wondering if there was any concerns from the department's end on that effective date.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Further questions for the sponsor? Seeing none. Senator Boner.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd certainly have to check with the department and see if they can opt out. My inclination is to say that they can. The option is up to that individual or that employee, but I can certainly double check and get back with the good president on that particular question. As to the question from my colleague from Laramie County, there's no problems with the department. They did not voice any issues with the immediate effective date. In fact, I think they're ready to get going on this program.
Thank you, Senator. We're on House Bill 71, Unemployment Insurance, Electronic Communications. Is there any further discussion?
Right.
Question's been called for. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 71, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 71 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 83. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 83, Healthcare Facility Licensing Bed Count Limit Exemption, an act relating to healthcare licensing and operations, sponsored by the Labor Committee, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so the recommendation that House Bill 83 do pass. There was no standing committee amendment, and I yield to Senator Baldwin for an explanation of the House bill.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring to you House Bill 83 today, which is one of the very few inadvertent errors made by the 63rd legislature, and we're going to correct that today with this bill. This bill specifically goes to Section 352906. Last year, recall those that were here in legislation, we went through and passed an exemption from the licensing and bed count in order to make the state facilities task force move forward and be able to do what we need to do with those facilities in the south and central parts of the state. Inadvertently, we exempted ourselves from Section A, B, and C. A being the licensing section, which is important to us. We actually need to comply with that and need to remain in there. This bill takes it and exempts us from Section B and C, which is important for us to move forward, and puts us back in compliance with Section A. We put that back in, and that's simply what this bill does, and I would stand for any questions.
Thank you, and thanks for that work, Committee Number 10. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as far as the certificate of need and those calculations, the licensing has no effect on that. We're simply making a correction to be consistent.
Thank you, Mr. President. Further questions for the sponsor before he rises? Seeing none. Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the President is exactly correct. This will not have any effect on that. This will make us able to go forward as we had planned.
Thank you, Senator Baldwin. Is there any further discussion on House Bill 83? Question's been called for. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 83, please say aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 83 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 25. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 25, Dry Bean Commission Member Terms, an act relating to agriculture, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, was referred to Committee No. 5, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz. Senator Hicks, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the House bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Hicks?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 25 do pass, and for an explanation of the bill, I would turn it over to Senator Emmerich.
Senator Hicks, I believe you might have said Senate File. Would you move that again, referring to it as a House bill?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 25 do pass. And for that, turn it over to Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Senator Hicks. Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was a bill we visited a couple of years ago, and there was some confusion as to the term limits and the term times of members. And so we have gone into page 2. On lines 5 and 6, and we have simply added, after initial terms, elected members shall serve for a term of 4 years. This clarifies some of the parts of the previous bill, and that is the bill in its entirety, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Emmerich. There are no amendments. Is there any discussion on House Bill 25, Dry Bean Commission member terms? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Hicks' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 25, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 25 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole to consider House bills rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. That motion has carried. Mr. President.
We moved through that,
Chris. Good job. Will the reading clerk please read the Committee of the Whole report for House bills?
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under considerations bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 18, do pass. House Bill 17, engrossed, do pass. House Bill 71, engrossed, do pass. House Bill 83, do pass. House Bill 25, do pass. Senator Rothfuss, Chairman.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
For the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole report for House bills is adopted. Mr. Doherty, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am moved that we can recess
until 2 p.m. Announcements. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet about 12:20 in room S18. To consider House Bill 3, engrossed, cease and transfer priority list, House Bill 32, engrossed, Ski Safety Act.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning, February 7th, at 8 a.m., Jonah Room, S27, to consider House Bill 121, engrossed, fishing licenses. House Bill 130, engrossed, harvest of trophy game and fur-bearing animals, and if time permits, House Bill 229, game animals, hunt consultation services. Thank you.
Further announcements? You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate stands in recess until 2 p.m.
Well, that's half a day.
that's a handout for the budget bill. I don't know if you want that here.